Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be discussing this following and very hot topic. Is it okay to publicly point out false teachers? What do you think? Should pastors, should people in the congregation call out, point out those who are teaching false doctrine and misleading other people? Now, as you think about that, a little quick update. As you can see from the background, if you've been following us, for the last month or so, we are still here in Croatia. Our final team just arrived 2 days ago. This is our largest team. I think, how many people do we have here, Dayon? Close to 30 on the team. So, yeah. And we're serving in the Roma Gypsy villages. And so if you've got 30 who have come here as a team, plus some of the key volunteers we have here in Croatia, plus on top of that, all the children and teenagers and adults that we minister into the gypsy villages, well, we're dealing with a lot of people. And it's interesting, today one of our Roma gypsy leaders, just a wonderful man of God, and just really takes his role in helping us as a ministry lead the gypsies in his village. It was interesting today how one of the Roma kids came up to another younger Roma gypsy kid and started kind of bullying him a little bit. It's interesting how our Roma leader immediately lasered in on the bully and immediately protected the other person. Well, isn't that what we as Christians should do when it comes to other Christians being falsely taught, being manipulated, being deceived by false teachers? Shouldn't we laser in on those false teachers? And shouldn't we do everything we can do to protect that other Christian who's being deceived or potentially deceived by the false teacher? Shouldn't we point out that false teacher? Shouldn't we point out the dangers of listening to that false teacher? Shouldn't we do everything we can do to protect one of our Lord's sheep for whom he died? Yes. Just like you would think that if I said to you, well, there was a little bit of an older Romy boy coming and acting like a bully and picking on a really younger, cute, precious little Romy child, what would you think if I told, yeah, we have a Romy leader, he was supposed to, you know, help and protect this little child, but he chose not to do so, he just ignored it, or he didn't want to offend anybody? I mean, you would think, well, what a loser this Romy leader is. Andrew, you need to replace him. What's this guy doing? He needs to protect that little boy, right? Well, it's the same thing when it comes to protecting the flock of God, right? We can't just stand silently by and say, well, look, we know those guys are false teachers, we know that they're deceiving, But, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to get anybody mad. We don't want to look like we're creating some sort of dissension. Look, we have one main goal as Christians, and that is to live for the glory of Christ, right? And one of the ways we do that is we protect the flock of Christ. Protect them, not only from the temptations of the world, but also protect them from false teachers who are within the church. Wait a second, Andrew, what do you mean false teachers in the church? Yeah. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, he had a message for the elders, the Ephesian elders, the elders in the church of Ephesus. Paul was leaving, he was on his way to Jerusalem. And Paul gathered the elders together and he said to them in verse 28, be on guard for yourselves. In other words, you need to care for your own souls, elders, right? To make sure that you are growing more and more in Christ's likeness. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. This is the role of an elder, a pastor, a shepherd. You've got to care for your soul, and you have to care for the souls of every person entrusted to your care in the church. Paul said to them, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. In other words, Paul's saying to these elders, you didn't choose this role as an elder. You didn't candidate for it. You didn't interview for it. You were made an overseer by God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And you were made an overseer, why? To shepherd, to feed, to care for, to protect the church of God. An elder has been made an overseer by God the Holy Spirit. An elder is responsible to shepherd the flock of God, the Father's flock, right? Which he purchased with his own blood. Obviously, reference to the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, right? So how about this? You see the Trinity right here. The church of God. It's the Father's flock, purchased by the precious blood of the Son, where God the Holy Spirit has appointed elders, men who are responsible to feed the flock, protect the flock, care for the flock. The Father's flock purchased by the precious blood of the Son, of which God the Holy Spirit has made men overseers. Let me think. You think the flock is pretty important if all three persons of the Trinity are involved? So Paul says to the elders, be on guard for yourselves and watch the flock, all of them. As a pastor, I get a little nervous when I see that word all, because as it says in Hebrews 13:17, as an elder, I have to give an account to God for every person who's been entrusted to my care. And again, Paul said to the elders here, you're responsible for all the flock. That means you need to know the people in the church. That means you need to know about things they're struggling with. You need to know about how they're doing in their spiritual lives. You need to know about what they do in their family lives. You need to know the flock. And as an elder, you have to give an account for each person. That's why this mega church mania really, for me, is like, well, Andrew, would you like to be a mega church pastor? No. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not criticizing if somebody has a large church. There are many godly men who God has granted and blessed to have a large congregation. I'm just deathly afraid of having to be responsible for every soul. So I'd rather have a smaller number that I can truly care for. Because I have to give an account for that, right? And Paul goes on to say in verse 29 to the elders, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Savage wolves, false teachers. Paul's saying to the elders, you better watch yourselves and watch the flock, all of the flock, because savage wolves are going to come in here and try to devour the flock of God, those purchased by the precious blood of the Son, of which God the Holy Spirit made these elders overseers. And then Paul said in verse 30, and even from among your own selves, within the elder board in that church, Paul said, men will arise speaking perverse things, teaching false doctrine, so to draw away the disciples after them. Paul said in verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. Paul said, follow my example. And so Paul warned the elders here in Ephesus that not only were false teachers going to try to come into that church from the world to devour the flock, Paul even said, even from within the church, from within the elder board, false teachers were going to arise, and they were going to speak heresies, false doctrines, so as to draw people away from Christ, truly following Christ, and draw these people to themselves. And so there's a massive danger when it comes to false teachers, right? In fact, didn't Jesus say that in Matthew 24:24? He said, one of the signs of the last days is you're going to have more and more and more false teachers. In fact, you look at the letters in the New Testament. What was the main theme of all these letters? By the way, letters written to churches. What was the main theme? False teachers and false teaching. So Paul here warns the elders. And fast forward now, maybe about 8 years later, after Paul had left that church in Ephesus, he returned and he brought his young guy Timothy there as well. And guess what Paul found in that church that he had warned 8 years earlier? Better watch, care for the flock. Guess what Paul found there? False teachers from within the church, from within the elder board. How do we know? Well, Paul says here in 1 Timothy, he names two of the false teachers. In chapter 1, verse 20, he said, among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan. He excommunicated them so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. Paul calls out two false teachers. Paul, by the way, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. These two men were false teachers in that church in Ephesus. And Paul called them out. Paul pointed them out so that the rest of the flock would not be deceived by these men. In fact, again, in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul starts out his letter to Timothy saying, as I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia. After Paul cleaned some house there in that church in Ephesus, right? Getting rid of these two false, at least two of these false teachers, Paul left and he went to visit other churches in the area of Macedonia. But he left young Timothy there to continue to clean up the mess in that church. So Paul writes this first letter to Timothy and he reminds him. He says, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus. Why? So that you may instruct, command certain men not to teach strange doctrines, heteros doctrines. Heresy. And so, Timothy's responsibility was to clean up that mess in Ephesus. That mess that about 8 years earlier, Paul had warned the elders about the savage wolves that were going to try to come in and devour the flock of God. Fast forward 8 years later, Paul showed up there with Timothy and found the wolves. Kicked at least two of them out of the church. And he left Timothy there. And he said, Timothy, clean up the false teachers, get rid of them, and get rid of the false teachings. And Paul had no problem calling out two men. And we should have no problem pointing out, calling out false teachers as well. Because you have to remember, or at least you need to understand your motivation for doing that. False teachers are empowered by Satan. Satan is the father of lies. And he empowers teachers within the church to teach strange or false doctrines so as to deceive the people and draw them away from Christ. Well, as an elder, I'm not only responsible to feed sound doctrine to the flock, but I also need to protect the flock from false doctrine. Andrew, how do you know that? Well, just hop over to Titus chapter 1. Paul told another young pastor, Titus, who was pastoring churches there in Crete, in chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said to Titus, one of the qualifications of an elder is that he must hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he, an elder, here's two things he has to be able to do. Number one, on the positive end, he exhorts people in sound doctrine. But he also, number two, refutes, opposes those who contradict sound doctrine. So as a pastor, I'm responsible to exhort in sound doctrine, feed the flock. I'm also responsible to contradict those who refute those who contradict sound doctrine. In other words, I'm called to feed the flock and I'm called to fight the wolves. That's the role of every elder in Christ's church. And actually, that's the role of every Christian. Because we are all responsible to glorify Christ and to edify and protect the church of Christ. So every Christian should be doing that, right? Certainly the elders, that's one of their qualifications, and the elders should be setting that example for the congregation, so the congregation sees in and her leaders this idea of feeding the flock and fighting the wolves, so that Christ's church is pure, Christ's church is holy, Christ's church is grounded on Christ's truth for the glory of Christ. And at times, you've got to clearly mark out false teachers because they are so good in their deceptive ways that the flock is very vulnerable. In fact, that's what Paul said in Romans 16. He makes that very clear. Writing to the church in Rome, in verse 17, he says, I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions within the church and hindrance, who cause dissension and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. So here Paul is commanding, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they're in that church in Rome, they need to keep their eye on, to mark out those teachers who cause dissensions and hindrances. Mark them out and turn away from them. How do we know we're talking about false teachers here? Or verse 18, he says, such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Again, back to my story I shared about one of our Romi leaders today in the village. When he saw that older Romy boy attacked that younger boy, our Romy leader marked him out. Our Romy leader did what he had to do to protect that younger boy. And as Christians, we need to do the same thing. You see a false teacher who is deceiving the unsuspecting with his false teachings? Point them out. Mark them out. Protect the flock of God, which is purchased by the precious blood of Christ, of which God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, lives in every Christian. And we need to be people of the truth. And we need to oppose lies and liars. Now, don't get me wrong. If I am smart enough to mark out a false teacher, well, guess what? That means I'm also somebody that people should keep their eye on. And if false teaching comes from my mouth, I need to be marked out as well. It's not about me. It's not about the person. It's about truth versus lies. God is truth. Satan is a liar. God builds up and edifies through his truth. Satan breaks down and deceives and destroys through his lies. What do? Just stand by and let that happen? Or do we show how much love we have for Christ and his people by feeding them truth and fighting the wolves? And I know this is not a popular thing, because today it's all about let's just all tolerate each other and sing kumbaya. Can't we all just get along? And well, he's not really hurting anybody. Yeah, he's false teaching, but it's not like he's just going out with a bomb and just exploding the church. Excuse me? That's exactly what he's doing. You allow false teaching, a little bit of that yeast, to seep in and through the church? What do you think is going to happen? A bomb's going to explode. Because that's what false teaching does. Again, as I conclude here, 2 Peter. Take a guess what one of the major themes is in 2 Peter. False teachers. And Peter says about them. In chapter 2, verse 1, false prophets arose among the people. Old Testament. He says, he's warning the Christians now in the church. He says, there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. But we just sit back and let that happen? How would you feel if that Romy leader just sat back and let that older boy just beat up and abuse that young, precious child? How would you feel about that? How do you think Christ feels if we sit back and in our silence, we do and say nothing and just allow destructive heresies to destroy people? Peter tells us about these false teachers in their greed. They're always in it for the money. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. And Peter says their judgment from long ago is not idle. and their destruction is not asleep. Oh, they have to face God. But we have a responsibility as Christians. Elders, absolutely. It's one of the qualifications of an elder. To feed the flock of God with sound doctrine and to fight the wolves who teach false doctrine. So yes, every elder is responsible to do that. But every Christian should be doing that as well, even if you're just doing it with one or two people within your sphere of influence. And again, you're not interested in tearing some teacher down because you have a problem with his view on some minor issue. No, we're talking about false teaching. Denying the deity of Christ, denying the Trinity, denying the virgin birth, denying the resurrection of Christ, denying the atonement of Christ. I mean, false teaching, right? You've got to protect people. And I would challenge all of you, if you're not an elder in your church, start with protecting the flock within your family. You live with them. You love them. Start with feeding them sound doctrine and make sure you protect them from the wolves who are trying to exploit people with their false words. May God grant all of us the faithfulness to stand strong on His truth, feeding sound doctrine to God's people and fighting the wolves who oppose sound doctrine to protect God's people for the glory of Christ. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.